In the movie Pay It Forward, a seventh grade history teacher challenges his class to come up with an idea that changes the world. Now, one of his students takes this message to heart, and he comes up with this idea he calls paying it forward. And so his plan is to do something for three people, something that those people couldn't have done themselves, something that would change those people's lives. And instead of asking for gratitude or thanks, he would challenge them to pay it forward so that they would do the same thing for three other people. In his mind, as he keeps drawing this out, it starts increasing at an exponential rate. And so he believes if this happens, if everybody does this, that the world will be changed. Well, the response in his class is mixed. Some of the kids don't think it's going to work. One of the kids calls it stupid, because of course the seventh grader called it stupid. And another thinks that it's going to break down because it depends on people doing the right thing, and you can't always count on that. So what do you think about that idea today? If we all did this, if we all lived life with a pay-it-forward mentality, would that really change the world? So as you think about that, I want to take you to a verse in Philippians chapter 2. And this is a letter by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Philippi. And this is what he wrote to them. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So Paul wants the Philippian Christians to act a certain way. He wants them to be more mindful of others, to put the needs of others before their own. He wants them to live unified. Now, when you want somebody to do something, there are different ways that you can try to make them do it. You can just come out and tell them. You can order them to do it. Now, another way that sometimes as parents we employ is the guilt trip, trying to make people feel guilty for not doing it. Now, I don't think Paul's doing either one of those here. I don't think this is a guilt trip. What he's saying, the way he's framing his appeal, is he's telling these Christians, look, if you've received anything from Christ, if you feel loved, if you believe that your sins are forgiven, that you've been reconciled with God, if you've received anything from Christ, go and do likewise. So that's the basis of his appeal. You've received these things. Now pass them on to others. In a sense, it's very similar to the pay it forward mentality. You've received from Christ, now give to others. Now, as Christians, we should excel at generosity. We should excel at giving because we've been given so much. We believe that our sins are forgiven. We believe that we have eternal life with God. That's a big deal. You know, there are people who grow up and they're not sure that their parents love them. I'm not saying any of you are that, or maybe you are, I don't know. But these people live their entire lives with this love deficit because they were never sure if they were good enough. They were never sure if their parents really accepted them, were proud of them, or loved them. It's hard to live out of that kind of deficit. It's hard to love other people. It's hard to build relationships with other people. But that's not the case for us as Christians because we believe, just like in the video that we just watched, that even though we are messed up, that we are flawed, that we are sinful, Christ loved us anyway. And look, when you know that someone knows the worst stuff about you, stuff that you wouldn't want anybody else to see or know about, and they love you despite of that, despite all the things that we usually try to sweep under the rug and hide from other people, that's love. And then we know that we've been totally accepted and totally loved despite all of our flaws. That's our life as Christians, because that's what the gospel is. The problem is that sometimes Christians fail to love other people like we've been loved. It's kind of a strange thing. I don't know if you're a Knicks fan. I'm not. Their star is Carmelo Anthony. He's a polarizing player. Great scorer, prolific scorer, one of the best scorers in the NBA. He may be a little bit past his prime right now. He's getting a little bit older. But the reputation he has is being a ball stopper. Now, this is what a ball stopper is if you don't like basketball. All right, so in basketball, you're trying to move the ball around to get to the open person so they can score. All right, so the ball keeps moving around. A ball stopper is when the ball keeps moving around, they get the ball, and then the movement stops. And they hold on to the ball, and they look at the basket, and they dribble a few times, and they back their way into the lane. Eventually, usually they shoot it, but the ball stopped moving. Carmelo Anthony has a reputation of being a ball stopper. You know, sometimes as Christians, we are love stoppers. Because we were loved by God. Christ died on the cross for us. We believed that and accepted that. And instead of passing on that love, we kind of hoard it. The love stops moving. Never reaches any further. And I wonder why that is. Why, as people who've been so loved, do we sometimes have such a hard time loving other people? So there are a few explanations. One that is when you're a religious person, it's very easy to get self-righteous. That's self-righteous, I guess. You can depict it in a lot of ways, but honestly, a lot of times, self-righteous doesn't necessarily look like that. It looks exactly like us. It doesn't look any different than anything else. But self-righteous is when we start thinking somehow, because we do this religious stuff, that we show up here for church on Christmas morning or on any other day, that we read our Bible sometimes, that we pray, that we generally live decent lives. All of a sudden, our perception of God starts changing. We believe that He loves us because we kind of deserve it. Because we're good enough. That's not the gospel. And we would never say these things out loud, I don't think. But there's a subtle shift that happens in our minds. And so we start thinking that we've earned God's love somehow. And that's why He loves us. And when that happens, it becomes really hard to love other people. Because you're only going to love the people who you feel deserve to be loved. And that's usually a pretty short list. And if you live in proximity with anyone, i.e. you're their parent, their spouse, child, you're going to find reasons not to love those people around you. Because we're just too flawed as human beings. You're going to find the evidence you're looking for to prove that that person does not deserve to be loved. See, this is the problem when you start becoming self-righteous. And you start believing that you've earned God's salvation somehow. But it happens to most religious people. Because there's that point in your walk with Christ where you recognize amazing grace. And you can sing that song that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind, but now I see. But all of a sudden, you forget that what it was like to be blind. You forget what it was like to be lost. And when those things happen, you become lost again. And you become blind. And so this is a problem. And if we start living this way, we won't love, we won't pay it forward like Christ wants us to. I really believe that the ultimate way to say thank you to Christ for all that He's done for you is to love other people. I mean, He said that over and over again, love others. You know, in 1 John it talks about how can you say that you love God and yet you hate your brother or sister? How can that be? So if you believe that Jesus Christ has done all these things for you, the number one response should be in giving to others and loving others. The other problem that happens is kind of connected with that self-righteousness. And you can see it in your own gift-giving this Christmas season, I would wager. Because we tend to give gifts to a very select list of people, right? So on your list you have immediate family, I'm sure. You have friends, you have coworkers perhaps, your boss maybe, you have your neighbors, but there's this list of people that you give to. And the reason you give to them is not because you enjoy giving to them so much or because you really wanted to make them happy. You gave so that relationship would stay square. You didn't want to owe them anything. You didn't want them to give you something and then be embarrassed because you didn't give them something or something that was as nice as what they gave you. This stuff happens all the time, doesn't it? Right? And so this is the problem when that's our idea of giving. That's very unlike the way that Christ gave to us. And in fact, Jesus talked about if you want to throw a dinner party, He said at one point, don't invite the people who are going to have you back over for dinner, who are going to pay you back. Invite the homeless, invite the poor, invite people who will never invite you back. And so He had a very different idea of giving. All right, but this keeping relationships square is also connected to being self-righteous, because if you're self-righteous, you never want to be in deficit with anyone else. And so it's a dangerous kind of habit to build, to only love the people who will pay you back one day, who will give you back, because you want to keep it square. That's not paying it forward, that's paying it back. All right? So a greater way to give, as Jesus talked about, was loving your enemies, loving the people who would never give anything back to you. This is a picture of these high school kids who just went around giving gifts to homeless people. These are people who would never probably give them anything back. And the funny thing is that we actually experience so much more joy this way. I'm not saying that we should give to make ourselves feel better, because that's kind of its own form of selfishness, right? But you probably know that giving to people just to keep that relationship square so you can pay it back is not enjoyable. All right? Because there's a freedom that comes when we love other people the way Jesus has loved us. And it affects the way that we feel about life. Okay? It's one of the great benefits that comes along with it. And so today, if you feel like you're struggling to pay it forward, if you're struggling to love other people like Jesus has loved you, it's a hard issue to fix, because it's a hard issue. You know, it's not just something that you can just do some activity and that will change you. All right? So what do we do if we're becoming self-righteous, if we're struggling with this idea of paying it back instead of paying it forward? Well, this is a great day to think about it, because we have to look at Christ. We have to remember what Jesus has done for us. In fact, you see Paul doing this a lot in his letters. When he's trying to encourage his readers to live a certain way, he often appeals to the gospel. He appeals to what Jesus has done, because that's the source of all our strength and righteousness as people. We're not that righteous on our own. You know that. You've known yourself long enough to know that. I know that about myself, and you know, if we have any degree of honesty about ourselves, you know that about yourself too. But when we look at what Jesus has done for us, completely going out of his way, you know what the scripture says about us before we got to know Christ? We were rebels. We were his enemies. Maybe you don't feel like you were God's enemy. Maybe you weren't consciously rebelling against him. But in a sense, we've been thumbing our nose at God for ever since the Garden of Eden. We've been trying to do life on our own, saying, God, we really don't need you. We can do life on our own, but we'll talk to you when we need something, okay? And that way of living really does set us up for rebellion against God. And instead of cooperating with him and doing the things that he asks, living in trustful obedience to him, we go down this other path. And that's what the scriptures say about us, what we were like before we got to know God. So that's what Jesus came to save. Wayward people, not just wayward people who had somehow lost their way, but people who had seen the signs of the way they were supposed to go and said, yeah, I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to do it. There was a story that broke last night after the Minnesota Vikings football game. I know it's two sports metaphors in one sermon. I apologize. Not all of you are sports fans. But the head coach, Mike Zimmer, had arranged a game plan to stop the Vikings or the Green Bay Packers' best receiver, Jordy Nelson. And some of the Vikings' defensive backs, the people who'd be covering Jordy Nelson, decided they weren't going to do that plan. They were going to do their own thing. And I don't know if you know what happened yesterday, but Jordy Nelson torched the Vikings in the first half. He had like 140 yards, which is a lot, in case you don't know. A couple touchdowns. It did not work out. We're like those Minnesota Vikings defensive backs. God tried to bring us in and tell us what he wanted from us, how we could live in harmony with him. And we were like, yeah, no thanks. We got our own plan. That's who Jesus came to save. So when you remember that and that becomes real to you, it becomes so much easier to love other people, because you realize that you've been given freely to. And that's really the whole key. And if you can't realize this about Christ, if you can't accept that about the gospel, you will never be as generous, as loving as you could be. And so today, what does Christ want from you? And I think in a sense, paying it forward is exactly that, but not just paying it forward to three people, but living that way with whoever we come across. Not worrying about paying it back or keeping a relationship square, but by loving the people who don't necessarily deserve it and who will never pay us back. And so today, if you've received anything from Christ, if you have any comfort from knowing that your sins are forgiven, if you have any peace because you've been granted eternal life, then go and live the same way that Christ lived. Love the same way that he loved. That's how you say thank you, and that's how you live in response to this story that we celebrate today. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Help us to live in harmony with you, at peace with you, and that we would do the things that you ask us to, and that we would live in a way that brings honor and glory to you. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.